Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And I was just going over with our friends on KTTH, because we don't get into the... We're not going to skip ahead, right? We're just going to add a little color, but we're not going to skip ahead until we got our friends with us on Cairo. So they're with us now. But I was just telling the people on KTTH, we were just... You know, addressing what's going on in the marketplace, what's going on with the Fed, and then we're talking about the political issue. And we'll get to the Fed. We got it here in my notes. We'll get to the market, obviously. But I want to address something, because I want to make sure I don't leave this out. There is so much talk about what the president's going to do for the economy, right? And what will happen to markets if Biden gets elected? And what will happen to markets if Trump gets elected? And I was saying that I'm going to tick off people on the left when I say this, and I'm going to tick off people on the right when I say this. Guys, I don't think it matters, really. In the longer run, I think that a Trump presidency is probably more beneficial to the economy and the stock market, the way we think of it. But what's driving the markets is the capital that's being poured into it. And regardless of who wins the election, you guys, they're going to make it rain. They have to, right? Don't buy the illusion. Don't buy the nonsense. You know, Jim Bullard out there is I think he's the biggest idiot on the Federal Reserve Board. I think he said the most stupid stuff, and he's been the furthest off course. And I don't mean that to denigrate the guy, and I don't want to sound like a jerk. I think he's got a tough job. I think he's in a tough spot. You know, I've said this about the Federal Reserve. I beat up on the Federal Reserve for getting us into this situation. I don't think, as crazy as it sounds, I don't really have a problem with what they're doing. They're doing what they have to do, right? They're doing quantitative easing because they have to. And the reason why I say they have to is if you drive an economy coming out of the financial crisis in 08, 09, if you're going to drive an economy with artificial things, right? Like artificially low rates, quantitative easing, all that kind of stuff. If that's what you're going to drive an economy and a market with, and it lasts as long as it lasted with us. Remember, quantitative easing was supposed to only run a year or two, and then they'd normalize by 2014. I think that was the original thing, right? Well, here we are in 2020, and quantitative easing is going faster than ever. The balance sheet of the Fed has almost doubled this year. I think it's a real possibility that you'll be at $10 trillion by the end of the year, depending on market trajectories. But the real issue to me is not what they're doing now, because they have to. If they don't do those things now, if they let interest rates run their course, if they weren't doing quantitative easing, the whole economy would fall apart. But therein lies my problem. Therein lies my critique with the Federal Reserve, because they've painted themselves into a corner, meaning the market has become so reliant on Fed assistance and Fed jawboning and artificially low rates and printed money and record deficits and stimulus and blah, 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 right? That they've painted themselves into a corner, meaning it's gotten baked into the cake now. And we talked about this last week, saying that the way you know that, the way you know I'm not just obloviating, the way you know I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that is look at the budget. Now, granted, the Federal Reserve is on the monetary side, so they don't have a direct impact on the government budget, right? But my whole point is that if we normalize the federal budget, if we balance the federal budget, last time it was balanced was 1999. If you balance the federal budget, that alone in and of itself would create an economic crisis that was twice as great in magnitude and twice as destructive as the financial crisis was. And again, I know we talked about it last week, but I really want to pound that point home so people understand how far off normal we really are. And I want people to understand that this isn't one of those things that a guy on the radio is screaming about and it's just another, you know, doomsday or whatever. It's not. I don't think that what the Fed's doing is going to create a market crash. It will eventually lead that way. I don't think what the government is doing is going to create a market crash. It'll eventually lead that way. right? But it's going to drive. So it's not a doomsday. I'm saying that they're probably going to continue to be able to drive things higher. I mean, you got an unending supply of capital getting poured into a market, right? So we know valuations don't matter. I mean, this is a bubble. It's a mania. It's a euphoria. If you don't believe it, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. You know, again, I don't want to be mean, but if you don't believe that, you know, and maybe this isn't nice to say, but you're either not paying attention or you're stupid. Right? I mean, guys, you've had the biggest economic shock in the history of the country, the markets at all-time highs with record valuations, okay? You don't need to know any more than that. I was reading, you know what? Here's a guy that I'll pick on. Michael Santoli on CNBC. The reason I can go after him is because he's arrogant. Michael is the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. But he put out an article in July that I just ran across yesterday talking about the Fed and valuations and saying how valuations weren't extreme. And I died laughing when I was reading it because, first of all, it was shockingly poorly researched. I mean, he just had so many things wrong. For instance, he was comparing the P.E. ratio in July on the S&P 500 to the P.E. ratio in 1999 and looking at trailing 12-month earnings, right? And saying that it's not that extreme. Well, it's not that extreme because you were calculating in two quarters from last year when corporate profits were at record highs. Right. So 1999 was normal. GDP was growing at 4.1% in 1999. Right. The economy was booming. I mean, the stock market bubble in 99 was insane. But I mean, at least you had the bulls on parade. Right. The economy was roaring. It is literally the inverse. The economy is going to contract by twice as much as it grew in 1999. And so he's comparing the P.E. ratio using the trailing 12-month earnings. The problem is it had two quarters from this year and two quarters from last year. Well, you know, attention, Michael. The world sort of changed in February and March, right? So if we're going to look at what really the price of the market is, and it's going to be a little bit opaque because we've got to normalize for earnings. So we've got to make some conservative earnings estimates based on the final two quarters of the year, which we don't have that information yet. I think we've got some trends so we can make some educated guesses that I think are going to be pretty accurate. Certainly enough to try to normalize the PE ratio and figure out where we're really at in a valuation range. But it was just hilarious reading this article because, again, he was comparing things that shouldn't be compared at all. He was talking about the trajectory of the markets and how this isn't as insane. And you're sitting there going, Michael, for God's sakes, factor in the economic backdrop. You know, so a market that doubled, the NASDAQ that doubled, and just so you guys know, in March, since March, the NASDAQ's up 80% in 6 months, okay? In 1999, it doubled. Now, the Michael Santolis of the world, the market justifiers are going to come out and say, well, it doubled. We're only up 80, and we're up 80 off an artificially low bottom. And you're sitting there going, even when the NASDAQ hit a bottom in March, it still wasn't cheap. It was still well above the historical norms of valuation. So I'm rambling here a little bit just because this is one of these days where I'm just the amount of stupidity and excess in this market. And I'm trying to get used to it. We're having a decent year. I'm not complaining. It's not like, you know, I've been short the entire time and gotten blown out. We're positive. Matter of fact, I think overall we're up better than the S&P. I got to check that. If I got clients listening and they're like, we're not up better. I apologize. We're really close. We're right there. With a fraction of the volatility. So it's been a decent year. The excesses, though, are just mind-numbing. Okay, so let's get into the market update here. Everybody was really pumped about the Snowflake IPO that happened this week. This, to me, is a classic case. Again, CNBC, and I think it was Santoli again. I just died laughing at his take on this, and I'll get into it. But so Snowflake IPOs, they're a tech company, services of software, right? All the stuff that everybody wants and that people think can't go down. Greatest company in the world, all that kind of stuff. Good, solid company. I actually looked into it. We bought a really small piece at like 230 or something like that. So we're slightly up with the full expectation that it's going to go down. I'm not recommending you buy it. No buy and sell recommendations. But it's a really solid company. As a matter of fact, Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett participated in the IPO, which is again, is a out of the norm move for him. But again, it's just a really good sign of the excess going on out there. The IPO comes out, it prices at 120. So what that means is the initial people that came in, like Berkshire Hathaway and the other investment banks, they agreed to buy stock from the company at 120 bucks. The other important thing is that the company has to agree to that, right? Nobody knows the company as well as the CEOs, the founders, and the owners of the company when it's private. Well, those owners determined that $120 represented a good value for them, right? That's the meeting point where the investors and the owners came together. In the first day of trading, the thing went up 121% in a day. Okay, now it IPO'd. So as of today, we're trading it 245. It's up 8% on the day. And 2 days ago when it IPO'd, the owners of that company thought 120 was a good price. So Santoli, I think it was Santoli, again, Michael Santoli from CNBC comes out and goes, oh, you know, this is horrible. How are these IPOs are going? These companies are getting ripped off. They priced this thing way too low. And I'm like, oh, Michael, God, if we could make money being stupid, you'd be the richest man in the world. And again, I don't mean it to be a personal attack. I don't believe in doing that. But what I mean by that is nobody knows the company better than the owners. Okay. And if you price an IPO correctly, a well-priced IPO should probably bounce, 5, 10, 15% in a day. That's kind of the way they want to do it, right? You want to give your early investors that stepped in there and executed the IPO, you want to give them a good price. Everybody should win. And their argument is, oh, you keep pricing these things too low. That's why it look, do you think the owners would agree? If the owners thought the company was worth a $70 or $80 billion market cap, would they agree to IPO it at $33 billion? Of course not. It's the dumbest thing in the world. What it does illustrate, though, is how insanely detached from economic reality we are. And guys, I'm not going to be the angry man yelling into the storm by himself. I'm just telling you that I don't see any signs of it changing. Now, the one thing I will say, and Chase Taylor and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago when he was on the show. The one thing I do think you're going to see and that you need to be cautious about is I think that there will be good buying opportunities between now and the election, because I don't think stimulus will get passed. If you get a stimulus bill passed, you've got to be invested. And I'm not encouraging people to time markets. I'm just telling you the reality of it. Right? I mean, if they're going to flood it with liquidity and stimulus, which they are, you can't be short or sitting in cash. Now, you shouldn't overexpose yourself because nobody knows what's going to happen for sure. And we've got to keep in mind, the insane valuations on the market and the destruction that's been done to the economy. Guys, if you want to know how we manage the risk in our portfolios, how we do risk management, how our clients are positive on the year, and we're only down, single digits in March when the market cratered. That's what we need in this environment. We've got to be able to benefit from the madness while it lasts, and we got to make sure you got a chair when the music stops. We can do that without market timing. It's called portfolio construction and risk management. We do it every day, do it every year. It's worked like a gem this year for our clients. And to us, the reason we do it, guys, there's no other way to play this, right? When valuations in reality are this stretched and askew, it's what you got to do. And if you're listening to other people telling you that I'm wrong or that markets are normal and this is normal, you're listening to the other side of it, you really have to ignore those people because they're wrong. And they're what I call a market justifier. And it doesn't mean that they can't be right in terms of markets going up. You guys have heard what I've said about it. But they're wrong in terms of saying that this isn't a dangerous environment. It's incredibly dangerous. It's nuts. So what you need is risk management. And if you want to get that, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can get our Common Sense Investing booklet. And also, you can sign up for the free webinar that we're doing next week, September 24th at 3 p.m. You can get on the webinar. We got room for 100 people. I think we've already got 65, 70 people signed up, so there's not a lot of spaces left. It's free, but we got max capacity on that at 100. There's an actual capacity issue. I'm not making that up. But anyway, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com and sign up for the webinar right there. You're going to get our full planning process, talking about our risk management strategy, breaking down the bond replacement strategy, breaking down our different stock portfolios. You get everything you need. And it's in 30 minutes. Then we do a Q&A. Dory will be joining us. Try to make it short and sweet. And guys, again, I say this every week, but take the 3 to 5 minutes to call us and get the Common Sense Investment Booklet. Take the 2 minutes it takes to go sign up for the webinar. You're going to need risk management. You need it. And again, I want everybody to understand, risk management doesn't mean we hide under the bed. It means we make more than the alternative portfolios as long as the sanity lasts. We just ensure that we have a chair when the music stops. Okay, it seems like a pretty measured approach to me. And oh, by the way, we can do all that, increase your upside, drastically reduce your risk, and lower your fees, usually by 40 to 50%. Give us a call, sign up, invest the 2 minutes it takes to ensure the rest of your financial life. It's kind of a big deal. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to pick on the Fed, finish the market update. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, I'm really excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
So join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back, and we're going to jump right back into it because I don't want to miss it. I'm on a roll. So back to Bullard and the Fed. I started to pick on James Bullard, but Jim Bullard came out yesterday or an interview. I think maybe it was even today. It was either today or yesterday. He's like, you know, kind of laughing, like, you know, playing it up like it is going to be the strongest growth ever in the history of the economy. And he calls it growth. And I'm sitting there going, hey, Jim, quit lying, right? Just be honest. Quit trying to jawbone the market higher and convince everybody that you guys are the economic saviors. A, it's not growth. You turned the economy back on. That's not growth. These aren't new jobs, right? We are recouping some of the losses. Let's be clear about that. And I just think it's ridiculous. Oh, look at the record growth. It's not growth. GDP is down a massive amount on the year. And we told you guys on the show, look, what's going to happen when they turn the economy back on is it's going to look like a V-shaped recovery. And then it's going to tail off. That's exactly what's happening. And I think the reason the Fed is out jawboning, because it's been pretty positive. We're going to keep rates zero. We love the economic recovery. They're jawboning because they're trying to hold things together until a stimulus deal gets passed. So again, I beat up on the Fed because they're not being honest, and that's not part of their mandate. And I have a serious issue anytime elected officials or people in a place, you know, like a Federal Reserve Board member or FOMC member is purposefully misleading to generate, you know, the outcome they want. They justify it because, well, we're helping the economy. No, you're lying. Just level with people, man. Give us the straight scoop. And that's what's so frustrating is this is so easy to see. The other side of it is we've got Europe and Japan as test tubes that show us exactly what happens when you pursue these types of policies. When you try to use monetary policy to govern an economy or a market. This is what happens, and it's pretty easy to understand once it's laid out for you. So we're going to get into that in the next segment. Another one you're going to keep hearing about, guys, that's really hot. Everybody's talking about a SPAC. It's another classic evidence, another sign of market euphoria and ridiculous action going on there. And I'm not saying SPACs are inappropriate investments. I mean, they have purpose. But anytime it's just a fad market, we're going from one thing to the other because reality doesn't matter. And everybody wants to start a SPAC. How do I get into a SPAC? A SPAC is a blank check. It's a shell company that's trading public. I don't think it has to be publicly traded. It's going to go public. But basically what you're doing is you're pouring money into a corporation because it's going to make a purchase, and you don't even know what the purchase is yet. It's like blind faith investing. And think of the level of euphoria that takes. Think of the overconfidence level that takes in investors. Does that mean a SPAC can't be appropriate or a SPAC can't work out? No. Everything serves a purpose at the right time, right? But what it does mean is it gives you a euphoria gauge. It tells you that everybody is so confident that, heck yeah, that sounds like a great idea. What are you buying? I don't know, but it's going to be awesome, right? Think of that. Think of the mindset that that requires. And you got NBA players coming out today. Baron Davis, former NBA player, is starting a SPAC. Right? I mean, it's just so bubbly and euphoric. It's just incredible. And watching the Fed just try to spur it on. Again, they've got no other choice. They're painted into a corner. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is bloody ridiculous at this point. And here's the thing. I'm not telling you to get out of the markets because it's probably going to keep going up. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. But as always, guys, if you want to know how do we benefit from this, how do we ride this wave and continue to keep up with the rate of inflation, but ensure, because it's going to happen, ensure that we have a seat when the music stops, right? How do we have a chair? That's what we do, risk management, right? Part of it is our risk-free, cost-free bond replacement strategy that's, you know, averaging 5 to 6% a year. Insured against loss, no fee, that's our bond replacement strategy. Other side of it is our stock portfolios that are benefiting from the upswing in the market. They're up this year, and they were only down. I think we were down what nine and a half percent, 10% at the bottom when the market was down 36 because of the defense built into it. Right? If you want to know what our risk about our risk management strategy, understand how we do it. It's not voodoo. It's just portfolio construction. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. The other thing you can do here is, guys, go to the website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, and you can sign up for the webinar. We walk you through our entire planning process. We address Social Security, long-term care, our investment portfolios, our planning process, the bond replacement strategy, show you how we do everything, soup to nuts, and give you the expenses, what it costs, all the information you need to make an informed decision, and find out if we really know what we're talking about. We do all of that in a 30-minute presentation. And then we do a Q&A after that. It costs nothing. The one thing I will say, though, is we've got room on the webinar. They actually limit the room on these webinars, believe it or not. But we've got room on the webinar for 100 people. I think we've already got 65, 70 signed up. So there's not a lot of room left. But anyway, sign up for that. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Get the free Common Sense Investing booklet. Talks about our bond replacement strategy. You can call us. You can speak directly for me. We can do a portfolio review. You guys know the drill. Just get informed. Invest in your future, right? Make sure that you're in a portfolio that can benefit from this idiocy going on in markets, but you know that you've got a chair when the music stops. It's not impossible, right? We've been on the air for 5 years. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's just a better way to build a portfolio. Anyway, give us a ring. You guys know the drill. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a really hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds, because I can promise you, if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors and host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 8. A lot of us work hard, save, and hope to enjoy our retirement years. But have you ever considered what would happen if your health is compromised to a point where you need help from others? It's called long-term care. And statistically, it's going to happen to nearly 3 out of 4 of us. And the problem is, long-term care situations can undo the best retirement plans, wiping out your savings, and even putting a physical and emotional burden on the people you care about most, your family. Having a long-term care plan provides a dedicated, tax-free source of funds to pay for your care, and more importantly, it provides a team of professionals to manage your ongoing care needs so your family doesn't have to. And the good news is, we have more planning options than ever, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. Learn more at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. Get right back into it here. Finishing, we're going to do a new segment, but I'm going to filter some more of the market update into it because there's a couple things I didn't get to. I think the narrative and the story that we've been talking about, the issue with bonds, right? It really seems to me like that reality is starting to set in. I watched a really interesting video on Real Vision, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's a subscription macroeconomic streaming channel. It has interviews with managers and strategists and analysts and things like that. Great website. If you're into this kind of stuff, you like watching the show, I strongly recommend a subscription to Real Vision. Great guy, too, that runs it, Raul Paul. We've had him on the show several times. Good guy. And they did an interview with a strategist that was talking about the death of the 60-40 portfolio. And he was putting it on, record high stock valuations. This is another reason that it's probably not going to perform well. But the chief reason being the bond side of it. And it amazes me. It really does amaze me that this was not addressed sooner. It amazes me that it's taken till 2019, 2020 for big players in the industry and big investment houses like Morgan Stanley and such. It really amazes me that you haven't heard more about this up until now, because this problem was so easy to see. Rates really haven't changed that much. Of course, that's not. I mean, shoot, you could still make 2.3% on a U.S. 10-year treasury, a year ago or something like that. So, and shoot, was it a year and a half ago where the yield was 3? So, I mean, it is significantly worse now. Now it's yielding 0.68, 0.67, something like that. So that's made it worse. But my whole point is that you could see this coming, right? When rates went to zero and bonds were at record highs, yields were at record lows, or virtually near record lows, pretty much the entire last decade. I don't know why it's taken so. I don't get it. But everybody's waking up to this. And, in our opinion, if you're still sitting in bond, you got to do something. And pushing more money into a record-priced equity market that is trading this bizarrely, that is detached from reality, not a good idea. Is the market probably going to keep going up? Yeah, I mean, I don't really see. I mean, guys, the other side of it is this. You have the biggest economic crisis in the history of the country in terms of a single event, right? Does the most economic damage to the history of the country. Economy's in shambles. Real unemployment levels still low. That's the other thing. We talked about this last week, too. Don't listen to the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate's a joke. Especially this last one that came out and said we're at 8.2% or 8.6, whatever it was. Again, we talked about it. Just ignore that. Zach said it was imploding, blah, blah. Go look at the U6 number. The U6 number actually gives you the real unemployment. We're at 14.6, Okay. We're at 15% unemployment or 50% higher than we were coming out of the financial crisis. Okay. That number they put out on the headline unemployment number, that is so massaged. There is so much BS baked into that number that it really is nondescriptive. And I mean, when it gets high, it doesn't tell me a lot. When it gets low, it doesn't tell me a lot. The number's a joke. Look at the U6 number. Okay. That tells you the picture. And that is double the unemployment rate that you're reporting to on the news. Why does the media grab it and run with it? I don't know. Why do they do everything they do? I mean, they're, you know, first of all, we're not talking about the sharpest knives in the drawer. Second of all, you know, they're not trained economically, so I don't really fault them for that. But, you know, anyway, the economy has got a massive hole blown in the side of it. And here we are at near record highs, record high valuations across the board. Okay. So if that does not convince you, if you're one of those bears sitting out there going, I know this thing's going to roll over. Yes. If left to its own devices, if this was a normal free market, absolutely. The thing would crater. If the Fed came out and said they were going to let rates float, let the market determine rates, the thing would crater. Okay. If the U.S. government says, hey, we've run $7-8 trillion deficits that year, that's enough stimulus. The economy's got to do the rest on its own. You'd see the market drop 30 or 40% instantly. I mean, not in a day because of circuit breakers, but it would drop. You know, so if we recognize that and we know that regardless of who gets elected, they're going to crank the spigots because they have to. And just so you know, I'm not saying they shouldn't. Right. Having 15% unemployment is unacceptable. And if you have those people unemployed, they should not be losing their homes and their businesses because the government shut down the economy. And this is kind of what I was alluding to when we were discussing the Fed was, yeah, do I think the Fed's bad? Yeah, I think the Fed is one of the chief people to blame for the wealth inequality we've got in this country, for the massive debts they've enabled it through artificially low rates. They've enabled a dysfunctional government because they run to the rescue with quantitative easing and rate cuts and everything when the government doesn't do what it should do. And I think the thing that irritates me the most about the Fed is the thing that irritates me about public universities these days, where it's all academic. They're approaching it from an academic standpoint. They think they're the smartest guys in the room. The world thinks they're these economic wizards. And yet their forecasting record is worse than anybody on the street. Right? It's like, we're going to sit there and trust the weatherman that has literally never gotten it right. Right? So it's not even the destructive force that I think they are, the source of wealth inequality that they are. But getting to what's going on now, I don't really disagree with the moves they're making now because they have to. Why do they have to? Because they went and stimulated and quantitative eased, you know, ran the balance sheet up to $4.5 trillion prior to this. Basically stayed on the zero bound for all except, what, 18 months for the last decade. I mean, this is what guys like me were saying was going to happen, meaning they can't get out, right? They can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. So, and Tony and I talk about this. Just get ready on the interview that's coming up later. Just get ready. Be prepared. This is not going away. I don't think you will ever see the Fed normalize their balance sheet to pre-financial crisis levels. It's never going to happen. And it's probably going to continue going up and higher and higher and higher. And deficits from now on are going to be a much larger percentage of the economy because they have to. And this is why we said this is terminal at this point. You're never going to see the government disengage from markets again. They can't. They painted themselves into a corner. So anyway, it's frustrating, especially on a day like today. You're watching Tesla soar back up again. If you're long Tesla and you made a bunch of money, tip of the cap. Great trade. I mean, the thing is such a dumpster fire. It's not even funny. And I just, one of these days you're going to get an announcement come out and they're going to find some of the chicanery that they've done. Or maybe the price of the stock will make sense at some point. I don't know. But right now it doesn't care. You look at a day like today, Dow's down 210%. Or 210 points. I hate points. 0.7%, not much. NASDAQ's down a little more, 1.15 right now. We're about 10 minutes from the close on Friday. And then you look at the stuff that's working today. Snow, the IPO that was up 130%, it's up another 6% today. Tesla's up 5.5%. Shopify's up another 3.5%. I mean, it's just, in a week tape, it's the most insane stocks that are doing well. This thing is just out of control, and it's probably going to get a lot crazier. So, you know, let's buckle up and you know, get ready for the ride. And what do we need now? I still think, though, you're going to see softness. I think that this could, I mean, this could potentially be it. Interesting thing right now is we're right below the 50-day moving average. You know, I don't know, what, 7-8 months ago, I'd have put more stock in that. I don't know that anything really matters anymore. You're at that stage of the game, meaning even indicators like a 50-day moving average. I mean, I will say this. The S&P right now, 50-day moving average is right at 3330. We're at 3320. That's not a good sign. But I'd have a lot more faith in that. Like I said, I mean, Tesla's at, you know, a $400 billion market cap, for crying out loud. You know, so nothing matters. We're in la-la land, right? This is crazy town. And so I can't put a lot of stock into us even going below the 50-day moving average. And this is the point that I was afraid that we'd get to, that I hoped we didn't, but I was afraid that we'd get to. And this is why we do things the way we do them. You know, what is our strategy for this market? Juice as much as we can out of it, ride the wave while it lasts, and make sure we have a chair when the music stops. And that's where you're at. If anybody tells you they've got an insight, I mean, you know, we told you earlier that the market was going to tank. And then as soon as we broke through the previous all-time highs, we said, Katie, bar the door. You know, here it comes. We're going to, you know, so we've got trajectories that I think are reasonable for us to make. You know, in directions, but if anybody tells you they know, or this is the guy to listen to, he's got this market figured out. Nobody does, because it's not a market. This is a speculating madness, right? Stan Druckenmiller came out earlier this week, greatest money manager of all time, in my opinion. And he just said, there's no doubt about it. This is a mania. This is insane, right? And if you don't get that, if you're listening to somebody say it's not, now again, I think the problem with saying that is people go, oh, you think the market's going to crash? No, I just sat there and told you. Path of least resistance is still higher, especially post-election, regardless, and I will pound the table on this, regardless of who gets elected. I bet you that I would be shocked if the markets do not soar post-election. Now, maybe not immediately after, right? Maybe you get a week of chop, or, you know, a sharp down move, or, you know, who knows? But I'm, because the president isn't driving this, right? It's the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government, and they're going to spend like a whole aircraft carrier full of drunken sailors as soon as the election's over. They may do it prior to the election. I just don't think politically you're going to see a stimulus bill get passed. We'll have to wait and see on that. If a stimulus bill gets passed prior to the election, that is a, you know, we will probably increase long exposure when that happens, because markets will rally. And it's really that simple. Me and Chase were talking about it. Watch Congress. This is a stimulus deal. If this economy has to swim on its own, it won't. It can't. Right? This is like a ship with a hole blown in it with both the propellers missing, right? It's not going to magically get up and start going. It's just not going to. Not unless you have that stimulus. It's just too much damage. 15% unemployment, real unemployment. You look at the U6 number again. So anyway, but you've got to be prepared for both. You got to have a portfolio that can benefit from this thing running way higher. And you've got to have a portfolio that protects you. The other thing is you've got to get out of bonds. Guys, call us if for no other reason than bonds. Maybe you know you want to keep your stock guy. Maybe you know you want to manage your own money and stick with your Vanguard ETFs, all that kind of stuff. Fine. Do we have a better solution? Yes. But, you know, some of you aren't going to get talked out of. That's, but get rid of your bonds. If you've got a 60-40 portfolio, you guys, you got to call us. You got, because it's killing you. You're taking all this risk. You're not making anything off the bonds. You're paying too much in fees. And just keep your ear to the ground, right? Just type in 60-40. You know, Morgan Stanley, 60-40. Read it. Not just the Morgan Stanley. It's all over the place. And yet, what is the most common portfolio? It's 60-40. How are people countering that now? Even now? Oh, yeah, we agree it's not a good idea. Let's push you into 80% stocks. Great. There you go. Let's fix the problem, because you've had me sitting on an asset that's made me nothing for the last 10 years. And let's, now, again, and I'm talking about the average investor, right? We made a ton of money earlier this year off treasuries, because treasuries go up when the market drops. It's the only bond that actually went up. What are we doing in investing, right? What are we doing in risk management? What we're doing is we're trying to find, if we're going to break it down to the simplest terms, when we're investing, what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance the risk-reward scenario. We want the most upside with the least amount of downside, right? That's what we're doing. That's why we like to buy stocks that are cheap. They've got less downside, right? There's just less to lose. And they've got more potential for growth. It's a better risk-reward setup. So that's my issue with bonds, right? The apocalyptic part of bonds isn't just rates rising. What if rates stay where they are and 40% of your retirement portfolio nets you out less than 2% over the next 10 years and drops by 15 to 20% every single time the market takes a tank or goes in the tank? It's ludicrous, right? And I'm not even going to get hyperbolic about it. If you've got a portfolio that's more, you know, that has bonds for other than a short-term tactical trade, and I'm seeing portfolios. I saw a guy of our, great guy, had a great chat with him. Has about a $5, $6 million portfolio in that ballpark. He was at one of these big investment firms. He had 15% in cash. He had 55% bonds, 35% stocks on a $5 to $6 million portfolio. He was getting charged 1.2% a year. It's highway robbery. A, his fees were way too high on a portfolio that size. B, 55% stocks, 15% cash, and they were charging the 1.2% on his cash. If you've got a portfolio like that, if you're 30, 40, 50% in bonds, guys, you need to do something different. Do not be that guy that goes, oh, it's just a guy. It's math. You've got two choices. Rates stay at zero so you continue to make nothing while the government prints money like it's going out of style. Right. So if they get the inflation, I mean, think of how bad, if you get the inflation rate to 2.7 to 3%, which is the stated goal of the Fed, and you have yields here, you've got a negative carry on your bond portfolio. Your real economic return, inflation adjusted, would be negative 2% a year. You need a bond replacement strategy. If for no other reason, call us for that and get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. But guys, if you want to know about our Common Sense Investing strategy and our risk management process, which you should, less fees, more market upside, significantly more security, enables us to ride up with the market if this thing keeps running. But make sure we got a chair when the music stops. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for our 30-minute webinar where we go through the bond replacement strategy, our portfolios, our planning process. That is going to be on the 24th of this month, which I believe is next week. Yeah. And it's at 3 p.m. We've only got about 20 slots left, 25, somewhere in there. So anyway, sign up. It's free, 30 minutes. We do a Q&A afterwards. Dory will be with us. Should be great. Don't miss it. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, I'm really excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
Oh, I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
So join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and got a special guest with us. And I've been wanting to talk to this guy for several months now, because we're going to start this interview a little bit differently than we've ever started any other interview. We're going to start with it with me eating a big plate of crow and apologizing because I disagreed with him a few months back.
Wow.
And it cost us dearly. Let me introduce Tony Greer of TG Macro, frequent host on Real Vision, and one of the only sources that we pay for research for. So I think that speaks, in my opinion, as a money manager, I think that speaks the best. But anyway, Tony, thank you so much for being with us, and it's great to have you here on the show, man.
I'm honored to be here, Zach. Thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
Hey, not too bad, pal. So like I said, we got to start off with an apology, Tone. You and I had a tense back and forth on Twitter right around the bottom, right around March 23rd, and you were telling me to get bullish and that this thing was going to rip higher. I disagreed with you and basically told you you were out of your mind. And here we are in... with the NASDAQ about, 20% above its previous all-time high in February, S&P breathing on all-time highs. First of all, hell of a call. Second of all, Tone, one of the things I wanted to do here, man, was walk through your thought process. Before we get into, what's going on currently, one of the things I have learned from you and a couple other guys is, it's great to be an investor. It's great to have a rigorous process and be a disciplined investor, but you also have to understand the trading aspect. Can you walk our listeners through why you, and Tony, again, tip of the cap, you were pounding the table, screaming for people to buy stocks. Why were you so confident, and walk us through what you saw and kind of let us in on that trading side of things that made you so, so persistent. You saw what you saw,
sure.
You knew it, you pulled the trigger. Walk us through that, would you?
Yeah, Zach, I'll tell you, I would love, there's a lot to unpack in looking back on that. And I just want to get a reference point. When exactly, just so that I can go through this and know from a position what I was thinking back then. What was the exact date that we spoke? Do you have it?
Oh, man, I don't. It was via Twitter. It was right by the bottom. I mean, maybe a couple days after.
Okay, so that's what you're referring to. So I can get into that. Yeah. All right. So the reason that I was able to get bullish, I suppose, if you want to talk about that, down towards the bottom of the lockdown puke at the end of, I guess it was March or middle of March or so, was that I guess in following markets, I've always paid close attention to there's one standout dynamic that I've watched for a long time called the tick index. And that the tick index is a really useful tool during sell-offs, and it has been for me during the entire bull market since 2008. And I'll tell you how the tick index works. It's basically it represents the New York Stock Exchange stocks that are trading on an uptick minus the number trading on a downtick. So to go into what that means, the tick index is a very different barometer of measuring how the market trades. So when basically you're in a scenario where all the bids are getting hit, you rack up these big negative extremes in the tick index. And when you are trading in a period where everybody's taking offers, obviously on the other side, you ring up a big positive extreme tick index print. So to get to the pulp of the matter, we used to see, you know, one and two extreme tick index prints on the downside, and then the market would recover. And then we went into the season of February, March, that was the, you know, the lockdown bludgeoning of the stock market, where we had massive tick index prints day in and day out. So it was this unbelievable sort of, you know, bid hitting beast that reared its head in that most extreme sell off that we markets have ever seen. So when you start counting up these extreme tick index prints that are literally bludgeoning the market, you get to a point where you've seen so many in a row and the stocks are so washed out and some of them have gotten to really interesting support levels that you know at some point that the Federal Reserve is going to show up, right? Because their job is to keep this thing under control. And, you know, there's always a black swan that creeps up on it and takes the control away from them. But then invariably, you wind up seeing central banks back in control again and you see volatility shrink back. And the stocks turn around. So what I had the combination of, luckily, was, you know, watching, observing all those massive tick index prints.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, we got to cut it off. But this was a great interview. You've got to hear the rest of it. Go get our podcast. You don't have to go get it. You just Google it. Just put it in there. Know Your Risk Radio podcast. All the different podcast sites go up. You can get it on mynorthwest.com. You can subscribe so it emails you the podcast, which is what I do. Just so you listen to whenever you want. You don't forget and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, go get it. Hear the rest of this interview. We've got all of our other interviews on there. If you're listening to us and you're intrigued, but you don't know, you know, maybe this guy's full of it. Every single show we've ever done is on there. So you can go back and listen to what we were saying in early February, right before the coronavirus crash. You can say what you can go listen to every single market event and figure out, did we know what was coming? Are we paying attention to it? Are we doing what we tell you we're doing? You know, it's like I say, the curse and blessing of radio, right? Is that if you're wrong, it's never going to go away, right? It's podcasted to the interweb. make myself sound old saying that, but, you know, that's the, it's a two-sided coin. You know, anybody can listen to your show, but if you're wrong and you're an idiot, it's going to live in, you know, in forever. Anyway, so yeah, get the podcast, hear the rest of this interview, sign up for the webinar we've got next week. Anyway, we got to run. Have a great weekend. Go Hawks, and we'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.